Luke chapter 22. We want to follow up on our time together around the Lord's table. I would ask this by way of introduction. How many want to be in the will of God 2019? I believe all of us want to be in the will of God in 2019. Hey, I want to ask you a question further. How many believe you're in the will of God right now? Do you really believe you're in the will of God right now? All right. I hope that you are in the will of God. Some of you may not really be in the will of God. But listen, look up here. That's why you're here at church. The Lord Jesus wants you to have a relationship with Him. And therefore, you can get in the will of God if you're not in the will of God. And here's where we're going in the message today. The title of the message the Lord placed on my heart to share today is Communion Today, Reunion Tomorrow. Communion today, reunion tomorrow. And there are three, watch this, three daily decisions that will determine your destiny in 2019. There are three daily decisions that will determine your destiny in 2019. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 22, and I want to begin reading, please, in the verse number 7, Luke 22. You already know the account. We just described it. Jesus is in Capernaum, and he's got these disciples. He's preparing to have what we call the Last Supper. As I mentioned earlier, he sends two disciples out to find a place where they're to observe this special occasion together. Guess who disciples he sent out? Did you know it was Peter? Did you know it was John? And yet the Lord knew that Peter and John both would be the coming to the tomb on resurrection morning. And further, the Lord knew that Peter and John would be the pillars as to bringing the gospel for the early church, namely the Gentiles and even the Jews. Peter, of course, the first Gentile bringing the gospel, namely Cornelius. And so here's the occasion. Here's the setting. Our Lord is gathering with his disciples. Little do they know that he's heading to the cross and to laying down his life, a ransom for your sin and my sin and the sins of the whole world. So we come on the background of this setting. Luke, of course, is a physician. He is also a historian, and he's portraying our Lord as the Son of Man, whereas John portrays our Lord as the Son of God. Mark, on the other hand, as the servant of the Lord, and Matthew as the king of the Jews. Now, where we're going to read in the text today, due to time, I'm going to try to have to skip over some passages. You can read it later as you get home. But in Luke chapter 22, we began reading in verse 7. If you'd like to stand to read the wonderful word of God, you can do so right now. I'll read a few verses, then skip over a few verses, and then try to conclude. And the message three, the title is Daily Communion Today. Communion today, you get it? Communion today and reunion tomorrow. I'm repeating the title because some, and I appreciate those tapes that we make every service. So many of you take those and give them to somebody, or you want to listen to it again. And what a great ministry it is to get the Word of God out. And I appreciate the taping ministry and Katie and others who work in the sound system. Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Are you there? If you are, say amen. And then came the day of unleavened bread. It was 7 days, by the way, this one of the seven Jewish feasts. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Jesus did, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. Now, you know what the Passover was about, remembering how God had supernaturally delivered the children of Israel from bondage, namely over in Egypt, and by strong hand delivered them through the Red Sea, and therefore they were to celebrate this great victory the Lord wrought year after year. However, they didn't until they got to a certain place in Israel, and yet Jesus is reminding them here, really, they understood what this was all about. Now, notice verse number 9. They said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, you are to enter into the city, and there's a man meet you. The man there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water, follow him into the house where he entered in. And then you shall say to the goodman of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber, and where shall I eat the Passover of my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished there, make ready. It's prearranged, in other words. And then notice verse 15. The hour was come, verse 14, Jesus sat down, and he sat down with the 12 apostles. And verse 15 reads, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then, as I've already alluded to, the fact he took the cup and then he took the bread. Now, won't you skip down to verse 24. In the midst of this wonderful experience, you'd have thought the disciples were celebrating and treasuring the moments. They were indeed. But then notice what Luke records in chapter 22 and verse 24. And there was also a strife among them. Can you imagine? Sounds like a modern-day America, doesn't it? And the White House. There was a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. The word greatest there is the word mizon, and the word means greater. Which one is going to be the greater? And then he said unto them, the kings, verse 25, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Now, you need to know what that word benefactors means, in case you're wondering. It means heroes or kings. In other words, they were looking for who was going to be the greatest, who's going to be the hero. Well, like us, I mean, I'm not faulting the disciples. We indeed sometimes err with wrong motives as well. Notice verse 26. But ye shall not be so, but ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and that word younger means least. Let him be least or younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. For whether is greater, he that eats sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. In other words, Jesus is saying, you really want to come great, you learn to be a servant. Verse 28, ye that are you are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I like verse 29, I appoint, that word appoint means confer, I make a covenant, I share, I appoint unto you a kingdom, and this is futuristic, beloved, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Jesus is saying, my kingdom's going to come, but it's going to be later. He came to offer the kingdom to the Jews. They rejected it by and large. Consequently, it was postponed until the Lord comes back in the second coming, and then he ushers in or inaugurates his kingdom. That's what he's saying here, and technically, we're not in the kingdom right now. I know we pray the kingdom and this and that and the other, but technically, the physical, literal kingdom of Christ has not come yet. Yet it will futuristically when Jesus comes, sits on the throne in Jerusalem. He's not sitting in Jerusalem now. The devil's not bound now. And therefore, you can conclude the kingdom must not be now, not literally and not physically, but it will be. Now, notice verse 30, that you may eat and drink at my table, verse 30, in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's speaking to the Jewish people here, namely the 12 disciples. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. And I confess, Lord, I'm nothing without you. And I confess, Lord, that I want to know you and to know the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering. I thank you for those that have gathered, Lord. And as we worship you because you're alive, you're a living God. And you with us, and you said you would not leave us nor forsake us. I ask you now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, break the strongholds of the enemy. Loose us, Lord, to be the men and women and boys and girls you've called us to be at times such as this. We pray you'll get glory and honor this very day, and that your word will fall on good ground. We give you glory, Lord, for changing our hearts, and we thank you now. The best is yet to come. We pray blessings on our ears as we hear, our hearts as we obey, and then our wills as we surrender to you as Lord and Savior of our life. And thank you now for what you're doing in our hearts. We just bless you. You've been so good to us and so good to me. And I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. All right, here's where we're going. Very quickly, I must summarize the message this morning. There are three daily decisions that will determine your destiny in 2019. How many want to be a blessing in 2019? How many want the blessings of God in 2019? All right, how many want to be in the will of God in 2019? Every one of us want to be in the will of God. And I do, and I know you do as well. Well, I believe these are daily decisions that will determine your destiny in 2019. And here they are. Number one is this. You need to know. I'll have them on the screen in a moment. You need to know that Jesus allows turnarounds when we fall down. Jesus allows turnarounds when we fall down. Number two, we'll see that very clearly here in the passage, Luke 22, and namely verse 7. Number two, not only do you need to know, but number two, you and I need to grow. We need to grow in and with contentment instead of resentment. With contentment instead of resentment. The second daily decision that will determine your destiny in 2019 is not only do we need to know the Lord Jesus allows turnarounds when we fall down, but we need to grow in contentment rather than resentment. We'll see that very clearly in verses 24 through verse 30. Number three, and the third daily decision that you and I must make and it will determine our destiny in 2019 is number three. Not only do we need to know and not only do we need to grow, number three, we need to show God's big picture wherever we go. We need to show God's big picture wherever we go. I find that from the text in chapter 22 of the book of Luke, and namely verse 30 as well as verse 15 and verse 16 of Luke chapter 22. So, let's go and see what the Lord has for us today. Here are the three, the aspects, communion today, reunion tomorrow. Where did I derive from that title? I was praying this week and saying, Lord, I know we're going to have your celebration of your supper. And God, what kind of message would you have me to share? I read over there where Jesus said, you will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until you drink it new with me in my Father's kingdom. And all of a sudden the title came, communion today, reunion tomorrow. And I said, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then, by the way, notice this right here. Daily decisions determine destiny in 2019. You want to be in the will of God? These daily decisions are going to determine whether you're in the will of God or not and whether I'm in the will of God or not. What are these three daily decisions? They're right here. I just gave them to you. In 2019, you need to know Jesus allows, watch this, turnarounds when you fall down. We'll see that in a moment. And then also, we need to grow. Not only know, but grow with contentment instead of resentment. I read the passage a number of times, and God began to open up the passage to me of what some of the main thrust of the text was. And that's where we derive the message from the main part. Notice 22, verse 24 through 30. Then the final daily decision, we need to show the big picture wherever we go. And that's what God's called you to do and me to do. If we're going to stay in the will of God, then number one, we've got to, watch this, we need to know that the Lord Jesus allows turnarounds when you fall down. How many have ever fallen down? Every one of us have fallen down. Every one of us have fallen down. But I want to tell you today, you might be falling down right now. You might feel like I'm 10,000 miles away from God today. I want to tell you something. Jesus allows turnarounds when you fall down. How in the world can I conclude that? You know how I conclude that? Because look at chapter 22, first verse 7. Look at verse 7 of the text. You'll find out right here that then came the day of the unleavened bread, and when the Passover must be killed, he sent who? Peter and who else? John. Peter and John. Really? Why did he send these two? I won't tell you why he sent Peter. I'm convinced I know why he sent Peter. And I'm convinced I know why he sent John. Why? Because the Bible gives us a description that Peter and John weren't perfect men. In fact, they had a fall down experience. But the Lord allows turnarounds when you fall down. What do I mean? You can see it right here on the text. You can see Peter and John, and this is just a little illustration to show visually how Peter and John came to this man. They didn't even know him. Jesus said, go to a man, you'll find out that he's got an upper room prepared for us as we sit and enjoy the Last Supper. And in obedience to the Lord, they just went in obedience to the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. I can see Jesus right now. He's sitting at the table. And by the way, do you know in those days when they sat at the Lord's table, what we call the Lord's table, they didn't sit like this. They were not sitting in this manner, straight up and down, like you see them in Da Vinci and the Last Supper, you know, the famous painting. Oh, no. They were sitting more like this, reclining at the table. And this is the position they got as they were sitting at the table. Now, you wouldn't know that, particularly if we look at pictures. But that was the position. They would recline in a more casual manner. And so as they were sitting at the table, I can see our Lord right now as he gets with the disciples and he looks at them. Jesus knows all about us. I said, the Lord knows what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't have to pretend like you're not, you know. The Lord knows us, and yet he loves us. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. And the Lord has got a plan for your life. He knows our frame. And watch this. Peter thinks that he's not going to fail the Lord. And yet we know the story of Peter, of course. I'm not faulting Peter at all, but I want to tell you what the Lord spoke to my heart about. The Lord Jesus is at the table. He looks at Peter and says, and he knows what he's going to do. But before they got to the table, you know what he did? He said, Peter, I want you and John to go and find the place where we're going to, and don't you know, where we're going to observe the Last Supper. Don't you know that this was such an important event in the life of our Lord. The disciples had no idea what was going to transpire the next few days and weeks. They didn't know. They were oblivious to what was going to transpire. However, our Lord knew the significant pouring into them, teaching them about end time things, 30% of your Bibles in regards to Bible prophecy. And so, and the Lord Jesus in the Mount of Olivet, the Olivet Discourse, chapter 24, chapter 25, you read it. It's all about the end time, preparing them what's going to take place. I'll tell you what, Jesus wanted the disciples to know how to be prepared for the end time. And so you can read it in the Bible right there. I'd say that was very important. If the last words of our Lord and the last time that he poured into them was in regards to the second coming and the things that would come to take place as to those events. Well, that brings us to this point. You know what Peter's problem was? It's like our problem. Peter, now y'all hang with me now. I'm not being critical toward Peter because I'm right where Peter's at too. Peter had stinking thinking. He had some stinking thinking that led to Peter's stinking thinking. It led to his sinking, and the stinking thinking of Peter led to his sinking, and his sinking led to his shrinking. But wait a minute. His shrinking led to his sinking. What do I mean? I mean this. Peter's stinking thinking. What do I mean, his stinking thinking? All you got to do is read in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. And here's what the Lord said. Simon, Simon, Satan hath the desire to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Now, he doesn't mean, listen to me, he doesn't mean that Peter was going to deny Jesus in a doctrinal sense, that he was going to reject his life, but he meant his faithfulness. There'd be a time in Peter's life where he wouldn't be faithful to stand up, and therefore he would be sifted as wheat. And this is where I derived this particular point. Jesus, in 2019, he allows turnarounds when you fall down. Now, what was Peter's response? Over there in Luke 22, Jesus said, Peter, the cock's going to crow and you're going to deny me thrice. Peter, what did Peter say? I'm paraphrasing. Lord, not me. I'll never deny you. In fact, I'll die for you. Didn't he say that? Somebody say amen. That's exactly what he said. I'm not saying he didn't mean it. I'm saying this. Peter, like us, Peter didn't know his flesh was weak. Peter didn't understand that Peter had to come to the end of the rope of himself to think he could serve God in his own strength and that he could do all this stuff without the power of God. Peter, like us, have to come to discover it's all of grace from to fruit, and it's all of His power. And if we think that we won't fail the Lord, then we are setting ourselves up for a big fall, because he that thinketh to stand, take heed lest he fall. Peter had to come to the end of himself so that he might come to a place where he could become usable for God. I want to tell you something. As long as you and I feel like that we're somebody, and that we won't fail the Lord, and that we have arrived, and that we're super spiritual, and then we are headed for a fall. I want to tell you, he that thinks he stand, take heed, lest he fall. If we, listen, beloved, this is a message to me. It's a message to you. If we don't stay humble before our God and broken before our God and recognize our total dependency upon Him, then we are headed for a big fall. And we've all been there, hadn't we? We've all been there. And yet, I'm glad in 2019, daily decisions determine destiny. And I know you're sitting there thinking, but I've been teaching Sunday school for this long. And I'm sitting here thinking, God, I've been preaching for over 30 years. And God's not impressed by that. I'm thankful to God for that. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. It's a daily decision that determines your destiny. You see, we want to live in the past. I'm thankful to God for God's forgiveness of my sin. How many know you're forgiven today? Are you forgiven of your sins? Well, you need to revisit when you were forgiven of your sin. But wait a minute. The real question is, where are you at now? The real question is, what are you doing today? The real question is, are you in fellowship with God right now? I'm glad you're at church, but that doesn't mean you're not in fellowship. That doesn't mean you're in fellowship with God. How many know we can get a bad attitude real quick? Some of you may be right there right now. A bad attitude. We can cater to the flesh. I want to tell y'all something. The Lord convicted me this morning. Every one of us are addicted to the flesh. Every one of us are addicted to the flesh. Now, we can put on our church clothes and act like we're super spiritual, but the fact is our flesh, by and large, is dominating us day after day after day. I know you don't want to hear that, and I don't want to think, not me, Brother Pastor. Yes, me too, and you too. The flesh is my soul. It's our boss. You say, not me, Brother Pastor. You like Peter. You're gonna set yourself up. Peter didn't think his flesh was in control until he had to see his ugly flesh. His stinking thinking. Wait a minute. How many of us have been stinking thinking? Stinking thinking. Say it with me. Stinking thinking. Say it again. Stinking thinking. That's where our problem is. Yes, right there in our mind. The reason we got a bad attitude, the reason we are negative about everything is because our thinking is wrong. For example, Solomon said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Paul said, finally, my brethren, what things are true and honest. This is in Philippians 4, that great prison epistle. Listen, y'all's thinking stinking. It stinks. Your thinking stinks, okay? My thinking stinks. Why? Because that's what leads us to falling. Paul said, finally, brethren, what things is true and honest and just and lovely and of good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul said again, that's Philippians 4:8. Listen, this is our problem, isn't it? It's our thinking. And that's why it's important. Y'all can be spiritual if you want to today. I'm just trying to be honest with you. That's why I believe it's very important. What we watch on television is going to affect our thinking. What we watch on the computer is going to affect our thinking. Videos is going to affect our thinking. Don't tell me you can listen to music that's not Christian and don't think it's not going to affect your thinking. Your thinking has become stinking because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. All of us can get stinking thinking, and the problem with our negativity and the problem with our complaining or whatever it might be, that I'm just as guilty as anybody else, is because our thinking is wrong. What I mean this, that Paul said, don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Wait, stop. Have you been stinking thinking lately? You have, hadn't you? You've been negative about this, negative about that, complaining about this, griping about this. Why? Your thinking's wrong. Maybe today God's saying you need to get out of that pit of despair, self-pity, and that stinking thinking. Why? Because it's going to lead to not only thinking problem. Watch this. Watch this. Sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a habit. Reap a habit, reap a character. Reap a character, reap a destiny. It all starts with the thought. That's why I'm telling you, you better put a guard around your mind. Don't think that you're strong enough to overcome the enemy. Oh, no. And so Peter, his stinking thinking led to his sinking. Remember when he was on the water in Matthew 14? Give him credit. He got out of the boat. But he took his eyes off the Lord. And the next thing you know, he began to sink. And so it is with you and me. When we get to thinking wrongly, we're going to pray wrongly. And we're gonna lead to a wrong conclusion of things. So today, I suggest to you that God needs to revive our thinking today. I'm tired of my job. I'm tired of people I work with. I'm tired of people telling me what to do. My family won't do right. Negative, negative, negative. And I'm not saying all those things aren't happening, but I'm saying this. You and I have the power by the Holy Spirit of God to control your thinking. And some of us today, I'm telling you today, I love you, but I'm telling you today, some of us need to get some of this stuff, junk, out of our mind and put it right here on the altar. Some of them tapes and that music you've been listening to, you think you can live a spirit-filled life? It ain't going to happen. Trash in equals trash out. Truth in equals truth out. It's simple. It doesn't take a Philadelphia lawyer to figure out why we're living a defeated life. If we're putting in trash, we're going to live trash. And it starts with the thinking. Even the physical, biological world, namely even the psychological world, psychiatry, they recognize this. Why in the world are people committing suicide? Stinking thinking. Don't tell me it's nothing else. Stinking thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So today, what kind of thoughts are you thinking? I'm not saying put on. I'm saying this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We know that, but the question is, are we allowing our mind to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? It's simple. Lord, I want to think on holy thoughts, your thoughts. Well, so this thinking, God allows turnaround. Did you know that setbacks are setups for comebacks? Did you know that? Peter fell. Oh, yes. He denied the Lord. Here it is depicted in this particular screen. He denied the Lord. We're very familiar with what Peter did and said he didn't know the Lord. But God wasn't finished with him. I'm telling you. Daily decisions determine destinies in 2019. You know what the devil will do to some of us if we mess up and we fall down like Peter did? You know what the devil will do? He'll say, aha, I knew you weren't nothing. I knew you couldn't do it anyway. And the devil will keep pouring more guilt on us, more condemnation on us. And the devil will keep trying to wear us out that we're no good and that God's finished with us. But I came to tell you today, the devil's a liar. Some of you listen to devil's lies, aren't you? You've got a poor self-image. You've got an inferiority complex. You've got a poor and low self-esteem. Why? Because the devil's worn you out. The devil's told you you're not going to amount to anything. The devil's told you you're not going to do anything. The devil's told you, look how you've lived. The devil tells you, look where you've been. The devil's told you, look how people have treated you. The devil says, if they loved you, they wouldn't be in your life. But you need to rise up today, and I need to rise up today and say, dear God, I can't control, watch this, I can't control everything around me that's happened, but I can control my attitude. So, this is the battle. Setbacks are set up for comeback. Question. Anybody ever heard the name Herschel Walker? Most everybody's heard the name Herschel Walker. Arguably one of the best running backs in college football ever. I remember in the 80s and 70s when he was playing, and I did not know this, but I ran across an article this past week, and I noticed, do you know the story behind Herschel Walker? I'm talking about negative turned into positive. I don't know if he's a Christian. I think he says he's a Christian. I'm not sure. But the point is this. Do you know when he was a elementary school boy, according to him, he was chubby and he had a speech impediment. People made fun of him. The teachers made fun of him. And do you know that he didn't go out to recess for 4 years? Why? Because people made fun of him. It was in junior high school, after the sixth grade, according to what I read, that Herschel Walker went to a coach and he said, coach, what can I do? The coach said, you need to start doing sit-ups and push-ups and sprints. Three things, sit-ups, push-ups, and sprints. Here's a boy that grew up and had been bullied most of his life, and it didn't even go out to recess because he was ashamed of how he looked, and people made fun of him. Well, did he lay in self-pity and say, well, oh, but no. You know what he did? He began to do sit-ups and push-ups on a regimen and pull-ups. You know how many sit-ups and push-ups he does daily? 2,000. He started with 2,000. He built up to it from 100 to 200 to 500 to 1,000. 2,000 sit-ups and pull-ups. Sit-ups and push-ups. And then he ran up a hill. He grew up on a farm down in Johnson County. And he did all these pull-ups, too. Every day he did this. No wonder he turned out to be the athlete that he was. Sprinter, you know, Heisman Trophy, all of that. And I'm not saying anything but saying this. He took what was a negative and he made a positive out of it. And so Peter understood that he had fallen down, but he didn't stay down. Jesus said, feed my sheep in John 21. Where are you at right now? Where are you at right now? My heart's heavy today. As I said, I went to see Brother Tommy Keenum yesterday, last night, at the hospital. And I saw him on Monday down in Macon Coliseum Hospital. And Tommy's having a tough time. I love Tommy. Tommy was here just a few weeks ago. You need to pray for Tommy. He may be moved to hospice tomorrow. The Lord can raise him up. But he's having a tough time, and we just need to pray for him. I said to Tommy as he was laying in the bed, and he's too weak, he can't even get up out of the bed, as far as I can tell. I said, Tommy, you giving up? He said, no. And he didn't say it that way. He just barely could whisper. And he's kind of in and out. And anyway, I said, Tommy, keep running the race. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Tommy, if it's your time to go, are you ready? Are you ready? And then he whispered words that I've talked with him numerous times, and I know where Tommy's at. I know he's ready. When the Lord's ready, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? When the Lord's ready for you, you might not live to be, and I might not live to be 83 years old. We've got to be ready, and the church said. Number one, daily decisions determine destiny in 2019. You need to know the Lord allows turnarounds when we fall down. Number two, you need to not only know that, but in 2019, you need to, and we need to grow. We need to grow. Did you see that? We need to grow. And what? Contentment instead of resentment. In Luke chapter 22, verse 24 through verse 30, here is the scene. It's also recorded in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. This same scenario. What in the world's going on? The disciples, you know what they're doing? And I want you to focus for a moment on contentment rather than resentment. You know what the disciples are doing? Capernaum is the setting. You know what they're doing? They're sitting around arguing about who's going to be the greatest. Can you imagine? Who's going to be the greatest? You've never said that, have you? You've never thought that, have you? I know you hadn't. But they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. Now, what all the message behind that is, the Lord spoke to my heart about this thing, about contentment versus resentment. Contentment versus resentment. There was also a strife among them. There was an argument going on among them. As I said, it sounded like Washington to me, but anyway. It was a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Or the word here means the greater. Now, there's nothing wrong with them wanting to do great things for God. Keep in mind now, the word contentment means to come to a place where you're satisfied from your external circumstances. But there's a difference in contentment versus resentment. In 2019, we need to watch grow with contentment instead of resentment. I want y'all to listen to me really careful right now, okay? Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, again in prison, a prison epistle, he said, I've learned to be content. I have learned to be content. Let's say that together. I have learned to be content. One more time. I have learned to be content. Are you content? Are you always saying, well, I wish I had a bigger house, and I wish I had a better car, and I wish I had a better wife, and I wish I had a better husband, and if my children wouldn't act like this, and if I didn't have to go to school, and if I didn't have this job, and if I didn't have this footache, and if I didn't have this, and I didn't have that. Now, I know we all have problems. We all got challenges in life. But there's a difference from being contentment versus resentment. I'm afraid to say that some of us today are resentful instead of contentful. Why? Because things aren't going your way. Now, I know it's easy for me to get that way when things aren't going the way I want them to go. And some of you today are feeling resentful instead of contentful. Well, what's the key? What is the secret of this daily decision that will determine your destiny in 2019? I'm going to tell you what this secret is. You know what it is? Here's what it is. Did you know that an attitude of gratitude brings contentment? Don't miss that. An attitude of gratitude brings contentment. But on the other hand, an attitude of ingratitude brings resentment. Do you agree with me? An attitude of gratitude. Are you thankful today? Well, I just take my blessing for granted. I slept in a nice home last night, and I had food on the table, and my belly's full, and I got shoes on my feet, and I got a nice home, and I got a nice car, and God, I just want more and more and more. I'll tell you what, contentment leads to, that is, an attitude of gratitude. If we just stop today and say, God, you blessed me beyond measure. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your provisions. Thank you, Lord, for the help that I do enjoy. Thank you, Lord, that we're not getting any younger. Amen. But thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Father, for my place where I'm able to lay my head down at night. You know these things, but you just need to start doing it. It's not going to happen. You got to make a choice to rejoice. You can choose to lose or make a choice to rejoice. What are you going to do? You're going to live all your life negative? You're going to live all your life complaining? Are you going to live all your life murmuring? Are you going to live all your life defeated? Nobody wants to be around a negative person. Not really. And some of our thinking, like I mentioned earlier, it leads to our discontentment. We've got an attitude of ingratitude. You know what? I met with somebody here recently, and we were talking about this, and you can put on a show. We can put on a show, act like we're happy and all, but deep down inside, we've got an attitude of ingratitude. And it'll come out sooner or later. You'll be able to see that I'm not grateful, really, for what God has done for me and who is in me. Can I tell you what I think disciples' issue was, their challenge was? Here's what their issue was. I believe the Lord gave me this. I really spent some time saying, God, I need to know what you want me to see in this passage. Lord, I need to make application of this. I'm not sure I understand why the disciples maybe were strife and why I understand why I do that, but I'm not sure. And God, I need something to speak to my heart over. And this is what the Lord put on my heart. Are you ready? If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Good. The disciples were so focused on what they wanted to be and what they were looking ahead, that they couldn't enjoy where they were at the moment. That was it. Who's going to be the greatest? Jesus said, if you really want to be great, learn to be a servant. May I suggest to you, and there's nothing wrong with long-range plans. There's nothing wrong with vision. There's nothing wrong with God-given goals. But wait a minute, if you and I can't enjoy where we're at right now, and we can't seize the opportunity, the moment where we're at now, and some of you are discontented today, why? Because you just want to be like this. I wish my church was 1,000 people in a mega church, and I wish my church was like this and that. Well, why don't you start doing what you ought to do right now, instead of complaining about what you don't have? That makes the difference, brother. That makes the difference, sister. And this is where I err all the time, and probably you err as well. Instead of looking to what I could be doing and what I want to have, start saying, dear God, I'm thankful. And I, watch this, I want to be faithful where God's got me right now. That's the key, isn't it? That's the key, because that's where contentment's going to come. That's where victory's going to come. Can I share this with you? I'm sorry, I'm using a couple of illustrations this morning concerning football. I grew up in a family. My dad, and you know, I know our men, we have differences on some of our favorite teams, but many people were talking about the Georgia football game this past Tuesday night. I know you want to forget it, but anyway, my dad went to the University of Georgia. You know, I grew up listening to Larry Munson, but here was the thing the Lord seemed to indicate the tie as a way of illustration with what we're talking about. I don't know, but I'd read in the paper where several of the Georgia football players were very angry and upset, it appeared, resentful, that they weren't picked in the top four in the championship games. And then when Notre Dame got beat, y'all read about that? When y'all men know what I'm talking about. When Notre Dame got beat, several of the players were texting out saying, we should have been in the top four. That was before they played their game. Their focus, I think, this is my personal opinion, some of their focus was on where they should have been and what they could have been rather than where they were at in the Sugar Bowl. And it seemed like it sure did affect. I didn't watch the game, but we don't get ESPN on our channel, but I did read about it, and I saw some of the videos of it. And so I did get to see, some bits and pieces of it. That's what it appeared to me. Do y'all agree? That's what it appeared to me. If we're so focused on stuff that's down the road instead of seizing the opportunity now. Young people, I know you're thinking, man, if I could ever get out of school, get out of college. I talked with a young lady last night, and she said she had been working at this particular place 5 years. She said she just got her bachelor's degree, and now she's going. But she says, I like my job. I work 28 hours every weekend, 14 hours on Saturday, 14 hours on Sunday. I said, wow, I'm glad to hear that. She's 20, in her mid-20s, I think. But here's the thing. If you can just start saying, God, thank you for what you're doing now in my life. Instead of finding out all the problems in your life and all the things that you wish weren't there, we could just have an old-fashioned revival saying, God, I bless you for where you got me now. Is there anybody here in the church that you say, man, I want to be a missionary out there in Africa? Well, I got news for you. If you can't be faithful where God's got you right now, God's not going to put you in Africa, all right? I've got to learn to be faithful where God's got us now. And as we're faithful over a few things, God makes us, he begins to see that we are faithful stewards of where he's got us. He begins to bless us in ways. So, are you resentful or are you contentful? I talked with a person this week and they said this, they didn't have a relationship with a mom. This particular lady said, I'm very hurt. I hadn't talked with a mom in 1 year. And it was obvious that this particular person was resentful. I understand things happen in our family. Maybe there's some parents right now that you're feeling resentful instead of contentful. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. I'm not saying you shouldn't believe God. I'm not saying you should give up and just say, oh, well, they're always going to be that way. No, but I'm saying this. Don't let a seed of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby cause many to be defiled. And often it's a seed of bitterness in us. It's a seed of bitterness in us that creates this anger, that creates this resentful attitude, that creates this animosity, that creates this this anger in us. And so it's a seed of bitterness, and we've got to dig that seed out. Let the Spirit of God dig it out and do surgery and get that thing out. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Some of us today are angry, aren't we? We're resentful, aren't we? Things have happened and we wouldn't choose it, and things aren't going maybe the way we want them to go. Don't get resentful. Get contentful. I'm, Lord, going to be satisfied. That doesn't mean you're not going to pray. That doesn't mean that you're not going to believe God. That doesn't mean that you're not going to set God-given goals. But it means this, for right now, I'm going to be content. I'm going to be free of my external circumstances. And then, finally, in 2019, we not only need to know that Jesus allowed turnarounds when we fall down, and we need to grow with contentment instead of resentment. If I ask everybody, most everybody raise their hand and say, yes, Pastor, and I am included, I need to learn to be more contentful. Contentment. And then number three, in that 2019, we need to not only know and grow, but show the big picture wherever we go. Jesus said it this way. I've already alluded to it. He said in the scripture right here, he said, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I never would have dreamed last Sunday night what God did. I met with a young man, 38 years old. This young man's been coming to the church 10 years. God had been dealing with him. I sat down with him and I had been praying for him. I know many of you, Kevin and Vicky, have been really a blessing in the Sunday school class with Hugo. That was a blessing. He came to our Sunday school get-together. 10 years ago, Hugo reminded me. He started coming to church. And I said, Hugo, if you died, would you go to heaven? You know what he said? He said, yeah, I think I would. I said, well, if you stood before God and God said, why should he let you into heaven, what would you say? He said, this 10 years ago, I'm not a bad person. I've not done too many bad. I'm a pretty good person. And he told me, he said, Pastor Randy, Brother Randy, you told me then, you said, you're wrong. I said, did I say that? He said, yeah. He said, you're wrong. And he said, it made me mad. I said, I didn't mean to make you mad. I was just telling you the truth. And he said, I realize my good works won't get me to heaven. He said, I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven my sins. And I want to trust Jesus Christ and his shed blood alone. He testified last Sunday night, didn't he? How many were here last Sunday night? Remember? Wasn't that a blessing? Hallelujah. Today, you don't have to leave from this place. You might have fallen down, but you can get up. God allows turnarounds in your life. Today's a good day, January the 6th, I believe. Am I correct? 2019. Will you have a turnaround today? Will you have that stinking thinking replaced by Peter's sinking and his shrinking led to his seeking? You can seek the Lord. Stand together, would you?